When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy Thursday here, and welcome to another edition of Husker Online Headlines. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, we're with you here each and every week, breaking down the headlines, the storylines across Husker Nation. And last week, we had Nebraska defensive coordinator Tony White on the show, sticking with another A-list guest, Steve Sipple, as we go headline number one. Let's welcome in the athletic director from the University of Nebraska, Trev Alberts, joining us here on Husker Online Headlines. Trev, I got to say, it's got to be fun this time of year. Usually we're already talking spring football and other things. Right now, the entire state's focus is on basketball, as it looks like you're going to have two teams possibly in the NCAA tournament. How exciting has this month been for you, knowing we've got a lot of basketball still ahead of us?
Well, thank you, Sean. Thank you, Steve. It's great to be on with you guys. And it's just been an awful lot of fun. You know, you're so happy for Fred and Amy. You know, they both have worked really hard in their programs, and they've really surrounded themselves with great coaching staffs. They've got a style of play that I think our fans really identify with. And just to see the energy and the passion that those young people are displaying out on the court, I mean, it's really resonated with our fans, and PBA has become just an incredible home court advantage for both of those teams. So been really, really enjoyable. They're some of the best people, best players, best coaches to be around. And then, you know, these people just show up. The other day, I'm in the locker room with Fred and the team, and here comes Kevin McHale. Like, how cool is that? I remember watching him. What a beast he was on the court for so long. So just been a really, really fun time, and really great to be around those young people.
Trev, let's get down to business. Now, Sean has his own set of questions. I have my own set. I wanted to get to some of you're really active on committees. You're on the NCAA Division I Football Oversight Committee, the NCAA Division I Competition Committee, and the helmet technology aspect, that part of the game, is, it looks like we're heading towards that.
Yeah.
Are you a proponent of that helmet, in-game helmet technology? Are you a proponent, and why or why not?
Well, I am, Steve. And I think it's just this basic generalness. You know, we could talk here for a while. I think it's just, you know, what I'm a proponent of is continuing to modernize our game and to really look hard at things like the flow of the game. I mean, you know, as an athletic director, you observe these things. You know, I go to some of our games and you think about commercial breaks and, gosh, there's lulls in our game that just don't feel very good. And I'm just start putting myself in the seat of the fan. And like, there's just not a lot of football, and there's an awful lot of other stuff. And so I think just in general, what I'm in support of is, hey, look, let's use technology in a way that can really advance our game. And so whether it's tablets on the sideline, you know, whether it's coach to player communication, how do we do things that make our game more efficient? How do we make it a better game? And I just think, you know, utilizing technology. And by the way, college football is just way behind. Obviously, the NFL has had a long history. You've got high school football down in Texas and other places that is using wearable technology, or, you know, so we're behind. We need to catch up. We need to modernize our game. And I think we're going to get there.
Would you have benefited? You know, most people understand your background as a player, as the sack man and all that. Would you have benefited from tablets, do you think?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think being able to, you know, I mean, you'd come off the field and the equipment guy would say, hey, Trev, coach wants you, and you pick up the phone, and right, Coach Samuel up in the box saying, hey, Chief, now remember, you know, when the play went away, you did a nice job of shuffling, be prepared. They're going to come back with the reverse, you know. So he would give you, but there was nothing tangible to look at, you know? And so to be able to, whether they're still or video, I'm a proponent of making it video. I mean, you got to think about how these young people have learned. Like, okay, they grew up playing EA Sports. Like, this is all visual to them. And so I don't know why we wouldn't utilize that ourselves. So being able to sit there with a coach and looking at the film, break it down. I just think, first of all, it makes the game better. It makes the players better, and it just makes sense to me. So I would have really, I'd think that'd have been a great part of the game as a player.
Interesting.
Trev, another rule that they talked about was a signing day change, but it sounds like that's been tabled. And you know, what are your thoughts? What are your feelings on that? I know there's a lot of momentum to move December up to the first Wednesday in December, which makes a lot of sense with the new playoff. But that summer one in June, I think there's arguments on both sides of that one. And I it looks like they made the smart move to kind of put that on pause for now.
Well, yeah, so there's a lot of nuance there. I was in Indianapolis for that. And, you know, look, the problem is we've had all these changes with, you know, transfer portal and now, you know, obviously the freedom of movement and double transfers and NIL, all that kind of stuff. And we've created this untenable situation for our coaches. We're killing our coaches, right? And it's really hurting universities too. I mean, you're just in this constant state of recruiting and constant state of official visits. And so the calendar has just gotten out of whack. And look, nobody's feeling sorry for the coaches, right? Because they only look at the, you know, at salaries. But at the end of the day, again, it's part of the modernization. It's how do we do a better job of work-life balance for our coaches? How do we, there are young men that get done, they're in June or in the summer, they'd like to commit. Well, why wouldn't we just allow them to sign then? Because if they don't sign then, we're going to spend the rest of the time recruiting against that school who they're committed to. We're going to spend a whole bunch of resources. So I just want you to know we had a really robust conversation. I'm a huge fan of the summer signing date. I don't know what it was, a slim majority that the FOC voted in favor of having those three dates. Again, nobody's forcing you. It's sort of permissive in nature, right? You're not required to sign in June. We're just saying if it's, you know, if a young man wants to sign in June or in the summer, whatever that exact date is, why wouldn't we allow that to happen? So it then went to the commissioner's deal. You know, you got to remember, this is part of the challenge of getting stuff done. You know, we talk about modernizing, but there's 20 commissioners on that next level of bureaucracy that don't even sponsor football in their conference. And so yet they have a voice on how this is going to happen. So we'll see where it goes. You know, I, you know, there's always the competitive component to it. I've heard some, you know, rumblings about why some might be against this. At the end of the day, I think you're going to see some adjustment there, and I'm going to do my best in working with Coach Rule, because we think a summer opportunity is in the best interest of some of our student athletes.
Modernization, Trev. Man, things have changed since. I mean, we had conversations 20 years ago when you were on that ESPN, and things have changed so much. It's almost incredible. And one thing that wasn't around back then is the social media aspect.
Yeah.
Nebraska is really strong in with its social media presence. And I want to ask you, as the leader of that department, what I see for football, for instance, is very well crafted. Why is it important, do you think?
Well, first of all, I take no credit for the social media success. I'm probably the least capable in this area. I give a lot of credit to Coach Rule and his staff. You know, I just think it gives you an opportunity, especially, you know, where we are in Lincoln, Nebraska, to tell your story and to help with your culture and really give prospective student athletes some real insight into what is it like there? You know, what is the culture like? What would it be like to be on the football team where Matt Rule is the head football coach and Tony White's a defensive coordinator, Marcus Sattersfield's the offensive coordinator, right? So, you know, just I think telling your story, and I think young people, this is where they live, and I think it's important to the players on the team that they are actually profiled and chronicled in this way. So we've made a huge investment in this area. I think we can do a better job with some of our other sports, quite frankly. We're going to continue doing that, but I think we have so much positivity to sell. We have our facilities, where they're training, who's training them, you know, what that message is. I think it's a powerful thing, and I think Nebraska's benefited from it.
Thank you, Trev.
Trev, I want to ask you about the stadium, because you know, I talked to a lot of Husker fans around the state, and I can't even imagine the amount of questions you're receiving on this project and kind of the plans for an announcement. And then I want to pivot off that as well. Ole Miss this week announced they're going to pause their stadium project because of just the changing landscape with NIL. I mean, you've got a lot on your plate as you manage this major decision for the future of Nebraska. Where are things at with that, and what were your thoughts on the Ole Miss decision to kind of pause their plans for their stadium project?
Yeah, so, you know, I generally don't comment on other people. People make decisions based on what their realities are. I think at the end of the day, there certainly is a lot of moving parts and change. But in a nutshell, what we're doing in college athletics, guys, is we're creating a new expense category. That's where we're heading, right? So, you know, 20, 30 years ago, when there wasn't a training table, while these numbers were smaller, we essentially created an expense profile that we didn't previously have, because now we were going to feed the student athletes. And so little by little over time, we've continually increased these additional expense categories, which we always had the revenue to offset that. You know, where we're going now is, while we continue to have collectives that are involved in this space, I don't think many people think that, you know, this sort of existing structure is going to be what we're going to do in perpetuity. I mean, it's ultimately, at some point, the institution itself, and we are kind of doing that now through redirected donor dollars, but at some point, institutions themselves, right, are going to be involved in some sort of, you know, recognition of the monetization of their name, image, and likeness, and so some sort of sharing of the revenue. So while we don't know exactly what that number is, and we don't know when exactly that time frame is, we're creating a new expense category. We created a new expense category when we came up with cost of attendance. That wasn't something that I got as a student athlete in 1993. We created another expense line when the Alston ruling came, so 5980, and that's costing our department roughly $4 million a year. This is all permissive. You're not required to, but as you can imagine, if Ohio State and Penn State and Alabama are doing it, the Huskers are going to have to do it too. So, you know, really for me, it's about how do we think about being as disciplined as we possibly can in our business model. And while we don't know where this ends, Sean, what we do know is, at least from my perspective, the healthiest balance sheet gives us the best and most reasonable chance to navigate through. So not having debt is important. And that's why at the end of this fiscal year, the debt on the Go Big project will be gone. Totally paid for, no debt. That's really important. Your roster size is going to matter, right? Because at the end of the day, that'll dilute the total dollars that can go to them. So for me, you know, the stadium modernization piece is, of course, we're really interested in having amenities that our fans want. But at the end of the day, we've got to find, through new entrepreneurial ways, we're going to have to replace some significant revenue that we're currently using and aggregating to fund our department. And as I tell people all the time, the challenge of this chair that I sit in is you really held accountable to three main things. Okay. Number one, winning matters, right? Okay. We got to win. Number two, financially independent from campus in terms of taxpayer dollars and student fees. Every dollar we spend, we make. And number three, broad-based. Hey, people are really proud of our success in women's athletics. We can never have a vision that says, let's downsize our investment into women's athletics. So we got to find new revenue. We can't just keep raising ticket prices. We've got to find new entrepreneurial ways to replace revenue that currently funds our department that eventually is going to go straight to student athletes. And so that's why you're seeing, you know, my good friend, Zach Wiegert and his company just signed a deal with Iowa State. So Jamie Pollard, they're developing outside their stadium. Everybody's looking for new revenue streams to offset what is ultimately going to be lost revenue to us. I know that's a long, convoluted answer, Sean, but that's in essence why we work on these things. And every place will make decisions that are in their best interest.
How long would you say, though, you are away from maybe making something more formal with the stadium announcement?
Well, you know, our hope is, you know, that by this summer, if we stay on the timeline that we wanted to, we would have to be back in front of the Board of Regents, Sean, this summer. And so there's a process that goes backwards from there. And so we're still working on that timeline. There's a lot that impacts it. Obviously, you know, we don't have a president right now. And, you know, there is an impact to the university there. And so probably would be good for us at some point to get that figured out. This is a, you know, a private-public partnership concept. And so there's some public participation that we're working through as well. So, you know, we're working as hard as we can. And You know, we in a perfect world, we would have never gone public with anything until we basically, but we couldn't even start the process without the approval of the Board of Regents. So we didn't have any of the details that were really necessary, but that's just part of the university process that you have to deal with.
And Trev, last thing I have on the scheduling for the future, Matt Rhule made a comment, I believe it was to Tom Chattel, just about maybe rethinking playing these Power Five games. And you've got a lot of active contracts out there with Tennessee and Colorado and Oklahoma State and Arizona. You're playing a neutral site game in Indianapolis. I mean, can we expect some of those things to possibly change, or was Coach Rhule maybe referring to down the road in the future as you guys move past those contracts?
Yeah, I think both, Sean. I think it's very fair, and we wouldn't be the only one. If you did a little research, there's been several other institutions that have, you know, say, hey, a game that made sense in a previous, you know, conference affiliation, we're no longer going to do. And so we'll work through those things, but I'm very supportive of Matt. Obviously, long term, I think he'll have a scheduling strategy, but we'll take a hard look at some of the existing scheduling that we have, and if we decide that it just doesn't make sense for our program based on an 18 team league with 9 conference games, and you know, the inclusion now of USC and Oregon and others with a 12 team playoff, we will work through that together. So I support you know, Matt's thinking about whether or not some of these games, even on our current calendar, make sense for us long term.
Trev, you got so much that occupies your thoughts and your time. Can you ever sit back just as a fan of college football and think, man, the Big Ten in particular, this is going to be exciting. What excites you most about this new look Big Ten?
Well, what excites me is probably what scares to death the coaches, right? Like, you know, what we're moving into is, I think back, and I say this out of due respect to everybody, but, you know, back in the Big Eight, if we're really honest with ourselves, you know, think about the number of, like, whoa, really big games, you know, maybe 2, 3, and then you went into the Big 12 and that strength, you know, and then you go into the Big 10. You know, the reality is, and I've tried to talk about this, Steve, I mean, I think so many times we, as Nebraskans, we think through things through the prism of what it looked like in 1993. And the reality is this, as we, and again, this is being forced on us. We're being professionalized. And where we need to get our mindset as a fan is this idea that we're going to have 40 years of winning 10 games a year. It's going to be more like the NFL, where the best team in the NFL is 12-5. And you're going to have teams that are 9-7 that are, and so, The margins, and we've talked about this for years, right? You're going to have so many teams with similar resources, similar commitments, and it's going to come down to a few plays. And again, how many NFL games comes down to that last drive? Who makes the play? And so that's why the attention to detail, the strategy, the infrastructure, everything that Matt Rhule and his team are building are so critically important. But what excites me is, as a fan, is, man, every game's going to matter. And so we really need to think through is, how do we protect our regular season? How do we, and that's what Tony Petitti's so good about, is we're thinking about this college football playoff, is we just can't have a scenario with how good our teams are in the Big Ten. We're very early on in October, the vast majority of them, their season's over in the sense that they're not going to make the playoff. The NFL, half the teams make the playoff. So you'll have teams that are like 6-8 that are still fighting for that final wild card. And so the regular season really matters and their fan bases are really engaged. We're moving into that versus this traditional college scheduling experience. And it'll be different, but it'll be okay. And it'll be great as a fan, because I think week to week, the matchups are going to be, UCLA, USC. I mean, it's kind of awesome, frankly.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, Trev, we really appreciate your time here. You know, you got a busy couple of weeks here with the conference basketball tournaments, opening weekend of baseball, and then the start of spring practice here in Lincoln. So thank you again, Trev, for taking some time to join us here.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate what you do as well. Have a great day.
All right, Trev, that was the AD, Trev Alberts, joining us here on Husker Online Headlines. Hi, it's Sean Callahan here with the Husker Online Show, and we've talked about Factor a lot on the show, but man, they make it easy to eat better with all of their delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Everything is fresh. It's never frozen. It's all chef crafted, dietitian approved, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. They have over 35 different options to choose from each week. There's Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto. There's more than 60 add-ons that can help you stay fueled and feeling good all day. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. They've got the 2 minute meals, pancakes, smoothies, you name it. There's no prep, no mess. It's all ready to go. It makes life easier when you don't have time to cook. It's going to ensure that you eat right and stay on that diet you're trying to keep here over this new year. And we've got a great deal here with Husker Online to get you started at Factor. Just head to factormeals.com/HuskerOnline50. Use promo code HuskerOnline50. They're going to give you 50% off. That's code HuskerOnline50 at factormeals.com/HuskerOnline50 to get 50% off. Thanks again to Factor for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. Before we get into that, headline number two, as we react to Trev Alberts, brought to you by our latest and newest sponsor on the show, Ellerbrock Norris, has been helping Nebraska business owners protect their purpose for over 120 years. With risk management solutions built for local businesses, Ellerbrock Norris partners with your commercial insurance, group benefits, business exit planning, safety, and more. Start thinking long-term with your business and create a risk management strategy to protect it. Are your employee benefits costs going through the roof? Talk to Ellerbrock. Workplace injuries skyrocketing, your workers' compensation costs? Talk to Ellerbrock. Hoping to retire in the next 10 years and sell the business to a family member, a key employee, or even a competitor? Talk to Ellerbrock. Ellerbrock Norris is helping you protect your purpose, whether it's your business and the employees in it, your life outside of work, or your future retirement goals. Head to Ellerbrock-Norris.com/HuskerOnline today to get your free risk evaluation. That's Ellerbrock-Norris.com/HuskerOnline to get that free risk evaluation. Thanks to Ellerbrock Norris, a proud sponsor here of the Husker Online Show. All right, let's get into Trev, because that was
a lot.
We could have gone, I mean, it's amazing what you can accomplish in about 15 or 20 minutes.
It really is.
I mean, there was a lot of things there. And I'll let you, where do you want to start, Sip?
Well, I think the scheduling part, I'm glad you asked that question, that he and Matt Rhule are aligned on the idea of maybe adjusting.
Like the Tennessee series, I think that's gone. Yeah. That's just my guess. Like,
what about Oklahoma? Tough one.
That's a tough one because of the history.
Right.
But
Arizona.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Those are the four.
You wonder.
And Colorado's on there still.
Right.
I believe in the future. Well, I don't know if the future one's been added, but I know Dave Plotty, when I interviewed him this summer for my book, said that they were really close to adding another series with Colorado in the 30s.
Okay.
But and I don't know if that's been on the schedule or not yet. I think the Tennessee one, if you're going to put odds, that's gone. That series has been moved down the road. It should have already happened. And Tennessee moved it. I mean, it's just been moved and moved and moved to the point where I don't know if either party really now gains.
Not too much. So when I say aligned, they're aligned on, you know, this notion of not maybe playing these Power Five games.
Developing your roster and your brand to get it in the conference play, which is now like a NFL types. I mean, you heard him. Right. He said a 12-5 team wins the Super Bowl. And that's kind of what we're heading to in college football. I mean, yes. The days of a 14-0 national champion, it's going to be really difficult.
Really? Yeah, you're exactly right. Trev used the word professional. We're moving towards this professionalization. So it's not only in paying players. It is also kind of the schedule and the way we kind of look at things. And he said, and now it's interesting when we have these conversations, because we're older, particularly me, that you can't really have these. And I think you still do it. I probably still do it. You have these conversations through the prism of the way it was in 1993, like Trev said. Can't. It's different. We can't say that 9-3 is the benchmark anymore. I mean, that's old.
9-3 is a great season now.
Right.
And, you know, under Pelini, people scoffed at it because it was an 8-game conference schedule. The Big Ten was not Jim Harbaugh and James Franklin yet. It had Urban Meyer for, I believe, one or two of Bo's years.
Right.
But it wasn't the Big Ten that it is now.
No, now you're adding these teams from the West, and it's, I mean, it's really exciting, but it's not. I hope that people make that adjustment that Trev alluded to. Don't view this like it's 1993 anymore. Nebraska's not going to go 12-1 anytime soon, right?
Really,
really hard. How would you do that at this point? Unless you're Kirby Smart, you know. That's about it, really. I mean, maybe you'd say Alabama still, but do you see what I'm saying? Who's dominant?
Ohio State will be up.
Michigan was dominant.
Dominant.
Yeah, Ohio State. No, Michigan won't be dominant now. Ohio State has been dominant, though.
Imagine having to win three or four playoff games now.
Right.
And, I mean, I think that's the difference of college football today, and Trev said this, is there's way more good on good, and way more people have the money to be good. Mm-hmm. Where back in the day, you could roll into a Big 8 opponent, play your worst game of the season, and still win by four touchdowns.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, if you play your worst game of the season against a lower tier Big Ten team, you'll lose.
Yeah, if you play a bad game against Purdue, you could lose it.
We've seen Nebraska do that.
Right.
We've seen Nebraska lose to Indiana.
So now, as far you were also you kind of in this interview, I would say you carried it in that you asked the tougher questions. And the stadium, we didn't really get a stadium answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very tough because number one, we're talking about a lot of money. And we're talking about 22,500 fans that sit in the South
that will be affected.
And you think about it.
Well, we're talking about they announced it as a $450 million project.
But it's more than that, probably.
It's probably closer to $600 million.
And, you know, I think about it just from a person that grew up sitting in row 88.
South.
Section 16A.
South Stadium.
Seats 5 and 6. And my dad still has those tickets in that section there. I grew up sitting in the South, so I understand like that part of the stadium, what it means to those fans. Well, if they have a good year this year with Dylan Raiola, which is very possible, you're essentially going to tell like that part of the stadium, you're not going to be able to watch Dylan Raiola play as a sophomore and a junior. Ooh. That's tough. I mean,
that gives me a headache.
I mean, that's
not even the AD.
Imagine that email.
Yeah, imagine that. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something. The AD is the one who takes those complaints. They go to the AD. That's who will hear them. That's who will respond to them. That is not easy. I mean, I can remember Bill Moose talking about various projects that he had over the years and just the level of vitriol that fans will direct towards the AD. That will happen.
And it needs to be done. I mean, when the South was built, it was built in the 60s as an add-on to the East and the West. And they built the North and the South separately, but they were able to redo the North. Mm-hmm. And still play through the year that year, right? I mean, they didn't actually have to stop
right
things, but this situation, it's not connected to the concourses. It's just, there's no modern, it's not. So if they do it, they've got to do what they do. And that's really challenging because, you know, 22,500 people estimated in that section, those are your grassroots fans. Those are your people that don't give a lot of donation dollars. Right. East and West and the skyboxes are where the dollars are. The South are your, you know, when we go to a lot of Husker lunches and events, those are your true, you know,
grassroots fans.
Yeah. I mean, the ones that make Nebraska special and unique when you have such a, you know, it's not a corporate fan base.
Right. So, okay, that was very interesting. And you handled that very well. The technology that's coming, Trev is very involved in that stuff. And he has adopted to the modern era, and he feels that college football should just adopt these things that are happening in high school and the NFL. The helmet technology is really interesting to me. You're gonna have quarterbacks now. Most likely this season, it'll begin. It has to go through committees and such. There's a lot of red tape, but it'll happen. I think you'll even see it in the spring. I think Nebraska may be using it this spring, where the quarterback has the speaker in his phone in his helmet. And then there'd be tablets up to 18, I think, on the sidelines. I was kind of surprised what Trev said, that I thought maybe he would kind of poo-poo that part, but he said, no, I would have used
it. And he wants the early June signing day.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I didn't know where he stood.
He did want that.
Shannon Terry made this comment on Twitter, a president of owner of On3, that the SEC doesn't want it.
Why?
Because they have the ability, they like to wait and like they want to see more, and then they can selectively pick the best guys later in the year after their senior year if they want to, where an earlier June signing day might take a lot of good people off the market and create more parity.
Right. It takes a lot of good people off the market because there's no, well, I mean, there's the senior years axed out of the equation. That's what's interesting about it to me. And I was, I wanted to follow up with Trev. I didn't know we had so much ground to cover. I was kind of surprised that Trev was in support of that, like a June signing.
Well, it sounds like Coach Rule is too. But yeah, there's a lot there though, with the calendar, they'd have to like discuss with official visits, in-home visits. I mean, there's a lot of things that they'd be changing. I mean, the old phrase, they want them over in the living room. Like, that's not going to be a phrase in recruiting anymore.
Nope. Because you don't get in the living room.
But I do
there's no time to get in the living room.
In the world we live in, it makes more sense to have these visits at a public place, like a school and parent. So I was talking to a coach.
Because the nuclear family isn't as prevalent.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what we're talking about.
Going home for dinner at 6 o'clock at night is not like the norm, unfortunately, in this country.
I don't think it is. Yeah.
I mean, because you're really busy or you have other situations in your life.
Right.
So a lot of these in-home visits now they've gone to the school. So in January, when a coach would go to a school, they would essentially conduct the in-home visit at the school and the parents would come to the school to meet with these coaches in January.
Okay.
So that is kind of what the in-homes become now. Where the old, like, grandma's coming over to make dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, that happens still, but it's not as
prevalent.
A lot of times kids will go to a restaurant. So you'll see coaches and players and families eat at a restaurant too. Cause not everyone wants to cook a big dinner for a bunch of people at their house. I mean,
that's exactly right. So we covered a lot of ground with in what you get a sense of Nebraska's pretty lucky, in my opinion, because they have a AD in place and a head coach of the premier program football in place that are extraordinary communicators.
Oh, and smart. I mean,
yeah, Trev is an extraordinary communicator. And of course he is. I mean, he was almost Kirk Herbstreit. I mean, it was pretty close to him being that chair, you know, that when he was at ESPN. Trev has always been a good communicator. And the other thing about Trev that really comes through in an interview like that is his deep caring for college football and college sports in general. He legitimately cares about it. This is not just, he's not just doing a fill in a role because he feels some obligation to his alma mater. No, he cares. He cares about his alma mater and he cares about the sports and that he.
Charlie McBride told me about 10 years ago when I interviewed him for the first book I worked on that Trev Alberts was the smartest player he's ever coached.
Is that right?
Like
Charlie told you that?
Yeah. In terms of his ability to understand coaching techniques, learn defenses, the whole ball of wax. I mean, he was the smartest player he'd ever coached.
Yeah. And he had a ton of talent too.
So
I'd say Trev had a ton of talent.
Oh, he was a first round pick.
Yeah.
He won the Butkus Award.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I think he did. Yeah. My recollection.
But yeah.
If my memory serves, Sean.
Thank you again to the AD Trev Alberts for joining us here.
Oh, God,
that was an outstanding.
Gave me a Sunday column of some sort. I don't know exactly what angle I'll choose. There's multiple angles in there, right? Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, you got.
Do you have any
suggestions? You might need to write after we get off the show.
Yeah, don't push it. All right.
I'm just giving you.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Before we go to headline number three, Husker on Headlines brought to you by nuts.com. Mm-hmm. By the way, I've been informed I have a shipment of nuts.com coming to my house.
To your home.
So I may or may not bring that to the office.
Yeah, it's up to you.
Because if I bring it to the office, you're going to take the whole thing.
It's up to you. You and Robin will pilfer the chocolate. What do you guys, the
nut clusters,
the peanut butter clusters,
the bourbon pecans, all of it. It's outstanding. And, you know, we partnered with nuts.com last football season and they've heard from you, because I hear from them, like, man, your listeners and audience have really bought into Nuts.com. So we appreciate your support of Nuts.com and the Husker Online show. And if you haven't tried Nuts.com, we've got a great special for you for a first-time customer. Spend $29 or more, you're going to get free shipping, and they're going to throw in a free gift at Nuts.com. You need to go to Nuts.com/Husker. Spend $29, get free shipping, get a free gift on your first order. That's Nuts.com/Husker. They've got everything in there, not just nuts. You can get tons of chocolates, dried fruits, you name it. There's a lot of different options. Great way to stock up your snacks at home or the office. You've got holidays and family events, March Madness parties. Check out Nuts.com/Husker, as they have everything you could possibly want and more.
It's quality.
It is. It really is.
There's a lot of crap out there.
It's packed fresh there. I mean, everything is.
There's a lot of crap out there. If you go to just a general quick stop, this stuff is good.
Oh yeah. It's all made fresh and packed and sent fresh.
Yeah. It's surprising.
Nuts.com/Husker. Let's get into headline three, the double buy. Nebraska basketball is eyeing that double bye in Minneapolis, and they got a big bump on Wednesday when Michigan State beat Northwestern. That was a big one, just to kind of keep things in line, because now if Nebraska loses to Michigan, they still have a decent chance even to get it. I mean, there's two games to watch closely.
Okay.
Illinois and Iowa.
Okay, you need Illinois to win.
Illinois is favored to win that game against Iowa. Right. It's a huge game for Iowa, though, because Iowa's still in the bubble.
And Iowa's playing well right now.
And then Purdue hosts Wisconsin on Zach Edey's senior day.
Yeah, Purdue's really
playing well. The teams that are kind of in line, I mean, Nebraska.
You need Purdue to win that game.
You need Purdue to win. But that win, since Nebraska is 1-0 against Purdue, the second tiebreaker, when there's a record tie, the second tiebreaker is overall winning percentage against the conference champion.
Oh, beautiful.
And so Nebraska only had to play Purdue once in Pinnacle Bank Arena. They went 1-0. They didn't split with Purdue. So that gives, they don't have to go to the third and the four tiebreakers at that point. That win in PBA is essentially what's boosted Nebraska to maybe the third seed in the Big Ten tournament.
Double bye. And that is gigantic. So Nebraska wouldn't play in Minneapolis in the Big Ten tournament until Friday.
Yeah, and you won't have what happened a year ago. Think about last year when they lost to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
It took them out of the NIT.
Right.
And it was a crushing way to lose the year last year, finish the year last year. So if you even lose in that double bye quarterfinal game, it won't be a bad loss. It's going to be a quad one level loss. You're not going to have a lower tier loss on your resume.
Yeah, so Nebraska, what we're looking at, and this is, it's going to start getting exciting. Maybe the excitement was, I don't know, this because Nebraska didn't play this week, you know, they had that part of the schedule where they were off, the enthusiasm sort of flatlined a little bit. It'll crank up on Sunday morning.
11 a.m.
Sunday morning is when they play Michigan.
Head to church and then go watch the game at Tanner's or somewhere.
Yeah, it's very odd. Now, I am probably irrationally interested in this game, like irrationally intrigued, because Michigan is a 3-win team in the Big Ten. They're playing in Ann Arbor. It's a morning game.
They've lost 7 in a row. 12 out of 13.
Thank you, Sean. And what's that? What is that environment going to look like?
When Juwan Howard and the strength coach are fighting?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's
not good.
It's a dumpster fire.
It is a dumpster fire. What will that scene look like?
Michigan, by the way, 100% chance that they will be the 14th seed. So there's nothing to play for them, other than probably this could be Juwan Howard's last moment in Ann Arbor.
It could be. I got to think that they would consider firing.
Look,
I mean, come on.
You're Michigan.
Yeah.
Like, they never should be this bad in basketball.
Well, and I think that AD, if you go to that game, I mean, I'm so irrational in this thought that I would almost like to be there. I just like to see what that looks like, especially compared to what we see at PBA.
Well, the students, they're not coming.
No, the students won't be there. It's because of the early tip-off.
It might even be spring break out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to just take a lot of fans out of it. Those things plus the morning, just the fact that it's in the morning.
It's noon out there. But noon on a Sunday is early.
yeah, I mean, you got to,
you got to kind of like go get to the going. Arena.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I'm not necessarily of the mind that that helps Nebraska. I mean, no player, Nebraska's going to have to create its own energy. It's a pretty challenging test for the Nebraska coaching staff to get its guys juiced up. You're going to have to create your own energy.
Nebraska, though, has a 78% chance right now to get a double bye.
Okay.
And their chance to being the 3 seed is in the 60s.
See, isn't it interesting? And the other part of this discussion about Nebraska, there's not a team in the Big Ten that Nebraska would fear right now.
No.
You could beat anybody.
61% chance to be the 3. And, you know, when Northwestern's trending to be the 4 right now, mm-hmm. You know, this is metrics put together based off Ken Palm averages and numbers. So really good breakdown that, you know, was put out this week on just kind of where things are at. Like Illinois and Purdue, they're the 1 and the 2. That's locked in. Nebraska, highly likely that they're going to be a 3 or 4. Northwestern's going to be a 4 or 5, maybe a 3, you know, if a lot of things happen behind the scenes. But unbelievable if they could get the 3 seed, but then you'd be looking at a game against the 6, which,
okay,
you know, that could be Iowa, that could be Michigan State.
Yeah, those aren't easy games. That's the thing. Now, I'm saying Nebraska's not afraid of anybody, but also the league is weird to me. I watch it close. You watch it close. I do. I watch it. I like it. It's not good. It's not a great league, though, this year. The Big Ten is not great this year.
You're going to have 2 Sweet 16 teams, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Illinois, obviously, and Purdue, but could you get you know, I think at one time Wisconsin was looked at as a Sweet 16 team. Now, I think they've fallen themselves down to a 7 or a 6 seed.
Yep, for sure.
It's pretty hard to get to the Sweet 16.
Right. Yeah. As we're, they play Rutgers tonight. It's a huge game for Wisconsin. They got to get off the schneid because they end against Purdue. What I was saying, though, Sean, while I'm saying it's not a great league this year, it's still a tough league. These are tough teams. I mean, there are these teams that come in like a Minnesota that's not great. It's not a great team. But when you watch them in warmups, you notice, man, these are still big, athletic Big Ten teams. It's not easy to win. It's not a great league, but Nebraska's earned these wins.
Call me crazy, but ever since they've gone to 20 league games instead of 18,
okay,
I just feel like that's bloodied up these teams more.
A little bit.
And by the time they get to March Madness,
yeah,
they struggle.
I wonder about that a little bit. I wonder about that.
TV partners want those extra inventory pieces.
They should, because they're interesting.
But, you know, that remember that one year when they had to play the Big Ten tournament a week earlier because of Madison Square Garden's availability?
Mm-hmm.
And they played it like the weekend of like the mid-major tournaments.
Okay.
But to do that, they were playing 3 league games in a week.
Yeah, that was not easy.
That was crazy. And that was the year Tim Miles had the good season.
Is that the year they lost to Michigan and Madison Square Garden? Yeah,
they were the 4 seed.
Yeah, that was one of the most crushing losses. Okay.
Were you out there? Robin was out there.
No, I was not there. I had to speak at a school in town, and I was trying to listen to it and kind of do my thing. And I just remember thinking, my God, they're in Madison Square Garden against Michigan. This is a huge game, and they lost it.
And Michigan ended up playing for the national title that
year. Yes. Yeah, Michigan got on a heater.
Yeah.
Michigan was on a serious heater. Anyway, that was a memory that's not good. I have a feeling the memories are going to be better. And now we're in a little bit of the calm before the storm. The excitement will ramp up this weekend when they play Michigan a little bit. But then next week, the energy going to Minneapolis will be significant.
A lot of Husker fans are going to go up there.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It's the most accessible Big Ten tournament they've had since Nebraska's joined this league.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fun.
I mean, they've played Big Ten tournaments in New York City and Washington, D.C. and mm-hmm. Indianapolis and Chicago. Now there's one that you could actually drive to reasonably.
Just whip up. Is that I-35?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just whip up.
Pit that. Stop in Ames.
Yeah.
Get some Jethro's barbecue.
Yeah. It's such an easy trip. It is.
You can go the Sioux City way up that way, too, and kind of cut over. If you're coming from Lincoln, we've done that way, too. But
another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app.
Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, headline number four. I want to talk coach ranking list. And Steve Sipple is a coach rankings junkie.
I am. I don't mind saying that.
With some of these lists, and there were two that were put out, one by Stuart Mandel and then one by Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. And on the Feldman list, Matt Rhule came in, I believe, at number 18.
Yeah, and that makes sense, right? About that's where Matt would belong. Now, Mandel, curiously, didn't rank Rhule. Now, why am I interested in these things? Because these guys that are ranking them, Stuart Mandel, Feldman, have been around college football forever, like us. And it's their, life to size up these coaches and size up various things in college football. And it's perspective. I mean, I think this is a great time of year to gain some perspective. Who are the leading coaches? Who are the big dogs? Rhule 18th on Feldman's list, not in Stuart Mandel's. The list is fascinating this year in part because why, Sean? Saban's not on it. Harbaugh's not on it. There's some big, so it shook up the top. Kirby, of course, Kirby Smart's number one. But look at the top of the list.
Lane Kiffin's at 11, which
Well, hold on. Look at the top of the list. Kirby Smart's number one, obviously. But Feldman has Lance Leipold number three. Stuart Mandel has Lance Leipold number two. Number two. The second best coach in America. That's Lance Leipold. It's interesting to me because the guy was at UNO not that long ago.
Well, there was a time, you've known Lance for over 20 years closely.
Well, 30.
And there was a time where he couldn't get a job.
Right, right.
And I, as far as like a Power 5 level assistant position.
Right.
And he essentially took a job on the level of Nebraska Wesleyan.
Yeah, yeah.
To show people that he could coach. Mm-hmm. And he did.
Yeah, and now look at him.
I mean, because Division III football is Nebraska Wesleyan, and he went to Wisconsin Whitewater.
Yeah. Whitewater's a power, but yeah.
Lance Leipold and Kellen DeBoer are really not much different in that they had to kind of start at the very, very bottom, and they were not given
100%
anything.
100% right. There's one thing, Sean, I think you'd agree with me on that's informative. And this is something, here's an example of why I like these lists. Okay, Chris Klieman. Kansas State coach is number 16 on Stuart Mandel's list. This is what Stuart Mandel writes. Like Leipold and DeBoer, Klieman's lower level success, and that's four FCS championships at North Dakota State, has translated at the highest level. Now, why is that important to me? Because there's a tendency sometimes of people to say, oh, the guy's just winning at NAIA.
Terry Allen when he went to Kansas.
Yeah, what does that matter?
Like Terry Allen was a Northern Iowa National Championship coach.
Right.
Didn't work out at Kansas.
Right.
It's not easy. It doesn't always transition.
It doesn't always, but it can. So what I'm saying, what's informative to me in my role is don't dismiss those guys. Don't dismiss a guy at the FCS level who's winning big because it can translate because – I just whipped off three coaches that are hitting at a high level at the very top.
Well,
level.
Craig Bull,
Craig Bull hit
to a lower, lesser. He was older, I think that hurt him. But like, look at he did. He stabilized Wyoming.
He absolutely did. So that's an example of why these lists are informative. There's some things that are interesting about them to me.
Sarkisian at 13 is low.
Seems low. If you think that's low. On Stuart Mandel's list, Dan Lanning is at 25, which I don't understand that at all. If I'm picking five coaches right now to lead a program, Lanning's probably on my list.
Like Matt Campbell's still at 21.
Which list?
On the Mandel list.
On Mandel, yeah.
No, or on, I'm sorry, on the, yeah, on the Mandel list, sorry.
Yeah.
But that seems, look, Matt Campbell took him to the Fiesta Bowl during the shortened COVID season. Like they beat an Oregon team in the Fiesta Bowl that had played like three games the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had a great year, but like I still don't look at Campbell as like ahead of Mark Stoops and Jed Fish and Josh Heupel. I'm sorry. And okay. Dan Lanning.
Okay, good job. Megan's got the list up. So it's number one, Kirby Smart. No, I mean, Kirby Smart, Sean. Let's think about one stat. 27 straight SEC regular season wins. 27 straight SEC. How do you do that? 27 straight SEC regular season wins.
In those venues on the road.
I mean, that can't continue. Lance, 2. Kalen DeBoer, 3. Mike Norvell.
I think Norvell's a tick high.
As do I.
Like, I mean. There was a time where him and Scott Frost, like, were kind of peers, you know, the Memphis, Central Florida. And if Nebraska didn't get Frost back then, Norvell was a guy they were going to consider, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know that. You might be right. I would say this about Norvell and being ranked 4th on Stuart Mandel's list. It just seems like a bleeding heart journalist move to me. They got Florida State got screwed out of making the college football playoff. And I, you know, a lot of the journalists were appalled. So let's put him.
Let me ask you this.
Let's give him a nod. Let's give him the nod here.
If Alabama under Nick Saban would have been screwed out of a playoff team, do you think Alabama would ever get beat that bad at a game? No, I don't.
Thank you for saying that. Like, I totally agree with you.
Nick Saban would have his army ready to fight.
Right.
Like, he would not say, oh, we don't care about the Sugar Bowl.
Right.
Or now, whatever. What, I forget what bowl they were. It wasn't the Sugar Bowl, whatever bowl they were in. But
they got pulverized.
Orange Bowl. Was it the Orange Bowl?
Yeah, whatever it was. They got pulverized. And everybody apologized for them.
Like, if you're a good coach, you get your players to still play.
I would think so.
Like, when Nebraska played in the Orange Bowl against Virginia Tech after they had just played for national championships back-to-back years, that had to be a major letdown. Mm. Like, and that Osborne still got those guys to play.
Osborne didn't have opt-outs, though. And Norvell had a lot of opt-outs. Okay. I mean, that's, you got that. Yeah. You have to factor that in this day. You know, it's a day and age question. Florida State got ravaged.
Where when opt-outs. Alabama didn't make the playoff, though, with Bryce Young and the linebacker,
didn't have opt-outs.
They played. They played against Kansas State.
They played. And they played. They hammered Kansas State. Kansas State stuck in there for the first half.
Yeah, and then they got a goal line standard. But I don't know. I just have a hard time.
We are like-minded on this subject. I was disheartened by the way Florida State showed up for that game. Everybody apologized for them. I was like,
Saban never would have had a team do that. Never.
So, Norvell 4, Kyle Whittingham 5. I'd put him ahead of Norvell. I would put Brian Kelly, who's 6, ahead of Norvell. I would put Ryan Day at 7 ahead of Norvell. I would put Dabo Swinney at 8 ahead of
Norvell. Am I crazy that I would take Jeff Brohm over Norvell?
Brohm is a little low on this
18.
List. Yeah, list. Low. Low.
I mean, low. Look what
it's
he
It's almost like they forgot about him.
Like, look what Jeff Brohm did at Purdue, but then look what he did right away at Louisville.
Think about what Stuart Mandel wrote here. I'm puzzled why I didn't have Brohm on the list at all last year after winning a division title in his last season at Purdue. Brohm wasn't even ranked. No, they got him low.
Brohm is, and our friend Tom Deanhart from Golden Black gave us a lot of good insight over the years. I mean, Brohm's a very meat and potatoes, under the radar guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the team has like 2 media members that covers it. I mean, when he was at Purdue, he didn't have a lot of spotlight on him.
Right. Again, these lists to me are, and I'm not being critical of Stuart. I mean, these are subjective.
It would be hard.
Yeah. These are subjective opinions. It would be.
Like, it's so hard to put that together. All right.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Let's get to headline number 5, though. I do want to hit just briefly on Nebraska baseball. It is the opening weekend, Haymarket Park, and it's been a while, Steve Sipple, since Nebraska baseball has gotten off to a start like this. They went on the road and swept College of Charleston, who was considered a regional level team. They came back from behind and I believe every game to win.
I think all of those games.
And then they took three or four from Grand Canyon the weekend before, who's also considered a regional team. Mm-hmm. They rocked their All-American Friday night pitcher. It was a Thursday night game when they played them. But they rocked a guy that was considered the best pitcher in that league. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a lot to be optimistic about heading into this stretch of games. Now, it's mostly home games in March. Mm-hmm. They do go to Wichita State during the midweek here for a couple midweekers. But usually all my years covering or following Nebraska baseball, they always got to survive these first three weekends. Mm-hmm. And then they go on these long March stretches. This mm-hmm. is where they've got to kind of start to pad their abilities.
Yeah. They've already done a pretty good, I mean, Nebraska's 7-3. I thought that Nebraska made a strong initial impression this season. I thought, even though they went out down to Texas and went 1-2, remember
they could have went 2-1 pretty easily.
Yeah, and they played those Big 12 teams tough. Baylor, they beat Baylor.
And Baylor's picked last in the Big 12.
Okay, well, they beat Baylor 4-1, and they played Oklahoma and Texas Tech close, and that got my attention. Okay, they had those teams on the ropes, Texas Tech and Oklahoma, and as you said, they've come back strong. Sean, what you do now? I'm going to counsel you. I'm going to give you some counsel. Start learning the names this time. Start knowing who's playing. Riley Silva is their center fielder, Sean. Caden Brombaugh is an infielder. Tyler Stone's their cleanup hitter. Do you know the rotation?
Drew Christo.
He's their Friday night guy. And then they got Brett Sears. Iowa Central Community College transfer.
You know who else they have? Rob Childress.
Yeah, and then their other weekend starter is Ty Horn. Yeah, Childress already, I think you would say, has had an impact. Nebraska's ERA is 3.71. That's down from last year, which was it's quite a bit down. 4.64 last year. It's early, but that's a good. That's a good start.
Well,
Childress probably is about as good as it gets as a pitcher.
And here's where you could even go deeper on that discussion. In college baseball, Rob Childress makes the pitch calls from the dugout. Mm-hmm. It's not like the pros. It's not like catcher, pitcher.
Right.
It's the dugout. Mm-hmm. So Childress is calling the game. Mm-hmm. And the pitchers are executing those calls.
Right.
And we've seen some of the best pitching early on in a year that we've seen at Nebraska in a while.
Yes, it's been strong. The bullpen's been strong. So we're having this conversation in part because Nebraska starts its home schedule against South Alabama Friday. South Alabama 10-3, so it'll probably be pretty tough. Now, Will has said he wants to have the toughest team in America. Toughest team when you talk about baseball is he's mostly, I'd say, talking about mental toughness, and they're showing that. They were down all the, like you said, they were down all those games in Charleston and won.
Ninth inning, like big comebacks.
Yeah.
So it's a very promising start. I would expect that, you know, and just like basketball here, baseball, if they get good.
Oh, God, it gets exciting.
It gets wild over there.
Yeah, over there at Haymarket.
And still no beer sales, but I think hopefully they're getting close.
Bring up the beer sale.
The entertainment value, it's an amenity.
Absolutely.
It's not about the revenue. It's about the amenity.
It's not about the revenue. It's not.
But hopefully they get that figured out, because I just think it just, I'm not saying you need a, but baseball game having a beer makes it a baseball game. You know, you want to go have a beer and a hot dog and watch a baseball game.
And a pretzel. Yeah, beer and a pretzel. It's funny. I don't know. I mean, I always go in the capacity of a journalist, so I don't even think about the beer part. But if you were going as a fan, you would think about the beer part.
And we'll have Grant Hansen, who does a great fine job covering baseball.
Hansen is a baseball aficionado.
And then Carter, our understudy intern, Carter Owens.
Carter was the bullpen catcher.
Yeah, he was on Bolts. I mean, bullpen catcher is not a team member, but he practiced with the team.
Yeah.
He was a great high school baseball player at Elkhorn South. Catcher.
Not surprised.
Is he about 6'4"?
Carter, yeah. He's got to be about 6'4". Yeah, let's say 6'2 to 6'4 in that range.
But yeah, we got in, you know, if
how things, tall are you, Carter?
If things ramp up, I'm sure you'll be over there.
Yeah, that's how it usually works, right? and things are starting to look like they could ramp up.
We don't let the big horse out of the stable here too often.
The big horse really likes football right now. I mean, I'm really into it.
Hoops.
Yeah, more football than anything.
I'm taking the horse trailer down up to Minneapolis with you.
Okay, let's cool it with the horse analogy, but I football has really got my attention. No, I'm going to cover basketball. Football's so interesting right now. I mean, it's just I've seldom been more interested than I am right now. You got Rayola coming. You have these transfers that we have to cover this spring, which should be interesting. This schedule, the excitement, there's just so many levels of excitement for me. But basketball, oh God. Yeah, it's going to ramp up now.
I'm so excited for Selection Sunday, though.
Yeah.
And to see where they land.
Yeah. Could be Omaha.
I mean, it could be anywhere. Yeah. I mean, like,
be Omaha.
That would be wild.
Wild. But wherever they go, it'll be fun.
I think Robin wants to go to, like, somewhere like Spokane or just somewhere, like, new, you know?
Brooklyn.
I'll speak for you. You don't want to go to Brooklyn.
I don't really want any part of Brooklyn. I wouldn't mind going back to Memphis. that would be fun.
Indy's a spot too, right?
Indy.
That's where Purdue's probably going to go.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be fine. I mean, for the record, I don't.
Charlotte.
I love going to Indianapolis.
Charlotte's a spot.
Yeah, those would all be preferable to Brooklyn. Why would you want to go to Brooklyn to watch college basketball? Omaha.
Well, like UConn will anchor down Brooklyn, I'd imagine. That's 2 hours away, you know, if that. I mean, I lived out there for a summer. It's very dry. It's like a drive for those fans. You take the train.
Is that right? So we're in this little calm before the basketball storm right now.
And we got, I mean, so we only play Sunday, Michigan, and then they may not play till Friday.
I know.
So it's kind of a nice break here. And then spring break at Nebraska.
I don't know. I wonder if how Fred would answer that.
I'm saying a break for the fans.
Yeah.
To kind of get ready.
Yeah, get ready. Get mentally ready. Yeah. I wonder how Fred would, I'm sure Robin will ask him about it, how just kind of disjointed the schedule got. You know, you have this island of a game in Ann Arbor, and then you got another week, you know, 6 days to marinate. So we'll see what that all looks like. Those are challenges for coaches. They have to manage that situation.
Well, lots to keep up on. We'll have baseball coverage, basketball coverage, more in-state tour coverage. Plenty of coverage here from the interview with Trev Alberts that we had here on the show as well. If you're not a member of HuskerOnline.com, try us out. We're going to give you 2 months for $1. Simply use promo code NU1. That's 2 months for $1. That's the best deal we're going to offer you at HuskerOnline.com. Thank you again to Athletic Director Trev Alberts for joining us here on Husker Online Headlines. For Steve Sipple, I'm Sean Callahan.